This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Live from Everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, buckle up, buttercup. We got a wild bunch of hours coming up on the radio today with your main man, Jimmy Failla. It is, of course, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, a show that broadcasts every day from the world-famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Today's broadcast, particularly unique in that we have just received word moments before we went on the air that O.J. Simpson, the NFL's all-time leader in fleeing yardage, has died from cancer at the age of 76. So the good news for O.J., he is free to try to get back together with Nicole again. The bad news is the justice system has found the real killer. 888-788-9910. There's a lot of ways to slice this, as the juice might say. We're going to try to take the high road, focus on politics and things going on in the country. But it's certainly newsy to a 47-year-old man like myself who was watching the O.J. chase on live TV back in 1994. I mean, I think looking back now, the most shocking element was that the Knicks were in the NBA Finals.
That's true.
That is true.
But there's a lot of way to go at it, and we certainly will. 888-788-9910 if you want a piece of today's show. A show that has one rule and one rule only.
We're not going to sit here and listen to you bad mouth the United States of America.
So we say every day to the point of exhaustion. You can be a Republican. You can be a Democrat. Just don't be a... Listen, I had planned to open the show with a grown-up talk about Biden's handling of the inflation situation.
Biden sucks.
And I think the poll numbers reflect that. But I would be remiss if we didn't allocate a moment or two to O.J., who is, you know, of course, a very complex figure in the annals of history. He'll best be remembered now as a murderer who got away with it. But he was, of course, an NFL Hall of Fame running back for the Buffalo Bills. He starred in some of the best comedies ever made. I'm talking, of course, about The Naked Gun.
Bingo.
Okay, so that's a factor in this analysis. In, you know, of course, that trial, which, you know, famously was considered the trial of the century at the time because he was such a giant, high-profile celebrity, wanted for a double murder when he led police down the 405 in his white Bronco. I think everybody who was alive for it knows where they were on the day it happened, at the very minute that it happened. So there's a seminal nature to this, whether it's the breaking news that he was wanted for murder, the low-speed chase on the 405, or even the acquittal, which I got to be honest, I went to community college. Myself and a great friend, Paris Borries, a lovely blonde-haired gal, who was a year older than me, we were in Nassau Community College taking a class called The History of Rap Music. And we were watching the verdict on live TV in the history of rap music. And we were, for what it's worth, the only two white people in the program. And we might have over-celebrated when he got found not guilty as a means of, like, you know, the last place we wanted to be was there if he was found guilty. Because in a lot of ways, this trial played out as a referendum on race. Okay, ultimately, O.J. was acquitted because of a lot of the carryover from the Rodney King riots. And the jurors spoke openly about how they felt that the black community wasn't getting a fair shake from police in L.A. at the time. And this, in a lot of ways, was a response to that. So O.J., a guy who absolutely positively did it and made a mockery of the acquittal the rest of his life, writing books called If I Did It, giving interviews where he charted out the route he would have taken home had he done it. You know, this is, by all accounts, a guy who should have died in prison. So if there's a positive to this, it's that he did die surrounded by his family and his children and his grandkids, because he was not behind bars. He was, as he famously told us, dedicating the rest of his life to finding the real killers.
Sell crazy someplace else. We're all stocked up here.
Well, to his credit, he did check one golf course and one Hooters at a time. This was a guy committed to the mission, and he did do his life's work when he was out there on the trail, on the hunt. But yes, it does believe, it would seem that they found the real killer today. So wild time for me. You'll see a lot of reflection on this across the country because of, you know, just how big of a name he was and how big of a trial it was. But as a radio host that tells you way too much about the goings on here at Fox, about how we produce this show, about how we do live stand up, about how we produce my Saturday night show. Like, this is actually true. And you'll hear this Saturday night when you watch the show, Saturday night, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. My producer, Victor, and I, last week, were sitting around thinking of games to play on the show. You know how we play all these ridiculous, like, steakhouse or gay bar or strip club or daycare? We're always doing some type of, you know, escapism in the back end of the show where people could just mindlessly, you know, consume jokes and, you know, inappropriate gags and things of that nature. Well, last Monday, Vic and I were talking on the phone and we had come up with a game based on O.J. Simpson's acquittal. I mean this. The game was called Rhyme and Punishment. And it was based on the fact that Johnny Cochran famously swayed the jury by saying, if the glove don't fit, you must acquit. Well, we put that in the rundown. We were going to play it live this Saturday night on the show. No, ma'am. That's not the way comedy works. And we don't actually owe that level of consideration to a guy who is widely regarded as a double murderer. So here's a newsflash that you know, but nobody else does, who's not listening to the show right now. We are absolutely positively going to play that game this Saturday. Yeah, no, straight up. I mean, listen, it's a really funny game. I think you're going to laugh your nuts off when you hear it. And it's certainly not a game that focuses on OJ. It's about stupid crime stories. You know, Florida man makes love to a Hot Pocket, stuff like that. And you essentially have to gain him his acquittal through rhymes. That's the point of the game. We have a very famous rapper on the show this weekend. So we just found a way to kind of fuse the two things. But as luck would have it, a game we dreamt up a week and a half ago now looks really, really topical this Saturday night.
That's true. That is true.
So that was your chance to stand behind the magician for the day. Now we get on with the politics of the show. When I wasn't reading about a man who killed his wife and a friend, I was looking at press conferences from a man who happens to be killing the economy as we speak.
Biden is such a disaster.
Here is Biden with a straight face. Okay. I mean, she... Okay, trying to talk, demonstrating that same indifference when it comes to the economic suffering in this country that we called out yesterday. We said, what, man? Hey, to tell people it's going good when their bank account tells them it's going bad, when the cash register, the receipt you get at the grocery store tells them it's going bad, when the inflation numbers tell you it's going bad. Okay, you're demonstrating a real indifference to the suffering that people are confronting in their daily lives. It's a suffering that you caused. Okay, but here is Biden, who claims inflation was skyrocketing when he took office.
That is a fact check false.
Okay, it's been fact checked 12 ways till Tuesday. But here is Biden making the claim anyway, clip 28.
Well, I do stand by my prediction that before the year is out, there'll be a rate cut. This may delay it a month or so. I'm not sure of that. We don't know what the Fed is going to do for certain. But look, we have dramatically reduced inflation from 9% down to close to 3%. We're in a situation where we're better situated than we were when we took office, where inflation was skyrocketing. And we have a plan to deal with it.
You told some of the biggest lies that I've ever heard of in my whole life.
Okay, guys, just so we're on the same page. Inflation didn't exist when he took office.
Correct the mundo.
So when he gets out there and says, I was skyrocketing when I took office.
This guy will say anything.
Okay, inflation by definition is what happens when there are too many dollars chasing too few goods. Okay, in a post-pandemic world, even while the pandemic was still raging, because while a lot of the country opened back up pretty soon, the liberal cities, beholden to the teachers' unions, kept everything closed so they could justify keeping their kids home from school, because they were, as you know, the biggest single donor arm of the Democratic Party.
This is politics as usual.
Totally. So they didn't care about getting the kids education. They didn't care about getting the, you know, cities back on their feet. They kept things closed. And, of course, the vaccine mandates created a supply chain issue, okay, that was complicated by the logistics of our economy being entangled with other parts of the world. And ultimately, as a means to exploit those difficulties, the Democrats went out and spent $6 trillion.
That is financial lunacy.
Now, why is that $6 trillion number so significant? I mean, one, it's more money than either of us could count in five lifetimes. But two, at a time when there was already a shortage of goods in the country, we now flooded the market with too many dollars. Okay, you now have the very definition of inflation, which is too many dollars chasing too few goods. Complicating matters further is this was supposed to be COVID relief, but it ultimately subsidized every Democratic pet project they had ever hoped to get through, except they didn't have the public will to fund any of it, so they filed it all under COVID relief.
What a fraud!
And that's what flooded the market, and that's what drove inflation, and that's when it started to skyrocket. So if you remember, decimating, okay, our domestic energy production the minute he got into office, signing all of those executive orders, took us from a place of energy independence where we were a net exporter to suddenly being in a position where we had to start importing because we wanted to appease the climate wing of his party.
They're crazy.
I don't know if they're crazy, but they're stupid because they don't understand the industries that they're trying to regulate out of existence. Okay, when you cut production here, that means we need to get the commodity from other parts of the world where they burn it even filthier. You understand? So we don't consume less when you cut production here. We consume the same amount, except it's now being created by people who do so filthier. And then complicating matters further is we now have to use additional fuel just to get this big, bad, dirty fuel back into our country.
That's stupid. Use your common sense.
Weapons grade stupid. So when Biden gets out there yesterday and he's like, no, inflation was skyrocketing the minute I got into office.
You're a liar.
He's completely lying. Okay, but again, in that moment, this is not an I feel your pain. This is a I know you're in pain. Don't make me feel it too.
That's just how white folks will
do it. He's concerned for real. He's concerned about the electoral implications. Here's Trump down at Atlanta. Pounded him on this, rightfully so. Clip 27.
Biden has totally lost control of inflation. It's back. It's raging back. The number today was very high, very bad. It's actually much higher because they exclude various categories. It's actually much higher than that. The number is out of control. Biden has no idea what the hell he's doing. He's the worst president in the history of our country.
Calls Biden the worst president in the history of our country.
He knows what he's talking about.
Whatever he is. He is a brazenly transparent politician where you can see the naked politics of every word out of his mouth. Yeah, we saw the inflation numbers. It's been skyrocketing when it came in.
You're not telling me the truth.
But he's got to do that because he's trying to pivot to more fertile ground for him politically. He's not concerned with you. He's not concerned that he caused the problem. He's not concerned that it's not going to go away between now and election day. He just wants you to not blame him for it. Okay, that's the problem with career politicians in the multimedia age. You can fact check everything they say in real time. And sometimes what they're saying in the name of performance art gets mowed down by the breaking news about the economy. So here is James Clyburn, straight circus act. He's on MSNBC yesterday with a straight face saying that inflation, that's just a social media narrative.
You were lying your ass off.
And we know that because as he's talking on MSNBC, they had to cut to breaking news about the bad inflation report. This is my favorite thing in the world, clip 26.
Although we see the prices at the stores costing more money, people are in fact earning greater incomes. So what we've got to do is make sure that people see the policies of the Biden administration, how they affect their everyday lives, and get them to see in his policies that which is real. Not what they may hear on social media. One of the focus group people talked about social media and the misrepresentation, disinformation. All of those things are out there, and that's the battle that we have to fight, and we've got to do a better job of fighting it more effectively.
You are so full of shit.
At which point, if you watch the clip, MSNBC then cuts to breaking news on the inflation numbers. Why? Okay, because they came in higher than expected. When he talks to you about, oh, the Biden policies, people don't understand. No, no, the problem we have right now is people do understand. It's more money at the grocery store. It costs 50% more at the gas pump. Okay, the rent is higher. The car insurance is up 22%. Do you understand? People are getting smoked every time they're asked to take out their wallet. Okay, if we've learned anything in these opening 20 minutes, it's that, yes, O.J. Simpson is dead, but he's survived by a hell of a whole lot of liars in Washington, D.C.
And I'm out here in the real world, and I know what's right or wrong or bullshit.
It's the show that never hits the books.
I love the poorly educated.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Guys, are you the same guy that you were 10 years ago? Everybody's been there. You wake up one morning, you feel like you're getting old, man. Stuff hurts. What do I do? One idea is to use the powerful testosterone booster in Nugenix Total T because it will revive your energy. It'll power up the workouts. Might even put the old fire back in the bedroom. Hey, girl, your old self is back. You'll feel amazing on this stuff. So tap the brakes on the aging process because every day that passes is a day you lose testosterone. That means less muscle, means less energy, and it does mean less get up and go in the bedroom. And are you really ready to lose all of it? The shape, the muscle, the energy. Are you ready to get old? Okay, you don't have to. You can slow it down with Nugenix Total T. It boosts free and total testosterone. It helps you get the old fire back at work, in the gym, and in the bedroom. Nugenix Total T Testosterone Booster with Tesner. It'll help you turn back the clock and re-energize your life and prove it to yourself. Try Nugenix Total T before you buy. There is nothing to lose. Get a complimentary bottle of Nugenix Total T when you text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy. Text now and get a bottle of Nugenix Thermo X, the newest and most powerful fat incinerator ever with key ingredients to help you lose fat and get lean fast. It is absolutely free. Your complimentary bottle awaits. Text 231-231 and enter keyword Jimmy. Text 231-231 and enter the keyword Jimmy.
Texting enrolls you into recurring automated text messages. Consent not required to purchase. Message and data rates apply. Number one doctor recommended brand by primary care physicians based on an independent survey conducted by IQVIA 2022.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla, holding this place together on a Thursday. Tudor Dixon. Coming on the show in the next hour.
Hubba, hubba.
A lot of the fans feel that way. Tudor, a self-proclaimed smoke show, who was a frequent guest on Fox News Saturday night, and proposed making elections interesting again by having a mud wrestling match between her and Gretchen Whitmer.
I love it when you talk dirty.
Well, that's not me talking dirty. That's TD, Tudor Dixon. She'll be by in the next hour. We love Tudor Dixon. We are, of course, talking about Biden's appearance yesterday at the White House.
I don't remember that ever happening.
But it did. Here is our president in what's supposed to be a joint press conference, the Prime Minister of Japan. And ultimately, our guy has a list of questions he's going to take. He has been assigned to call on certain people in a certain order so he can read certain answers off of a certain note card.
That was embarrassing.
It really is. And he barely makes it through it. Here it is, clip one.
Okay. Third, next question. Who do I call on next? Hang on a second. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP.
I mean, dude, come on.
That man belongs in a nursing home, not in the White House.
There, but for the grace of God, go everybody listening to the show. I get it. But that doesn't mean when we find ourselves in that capacity, we should be the leader of the free world at a time when the planet is like actually on fire. Not because of the pretend climate change they're selling you for record breaking profits.
Money, 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 money.
No, 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 no. It's actually just on fire. Instability in the Middle East when it comes to us, you know, backing off our support for Israel. The weakness we demonstrated in Afghanistan. OK. China has encircled Taiwan. Not the best look. Okay, Russia, you know, back and forth with Ukraine. in a conflict we're inadvertently funding both sides of. And we've got a president out there on the world stage when we need mom or dad to whistle and say, knock it off. OK, because that's who we are. OK, you know, when the kids are getting restless in the house and one of your parents goes, hey, knock it off. OK, the two kids fighting look at each other and they go,
this could be a problem.
OK, but now the kids are fighting. And mom and dad are like, I've got a list here of things I should say to my kids. Let me scroll down and see what we should go with. And do you think that's actually going to get the kids back under control?
The answer would be no.
No.
We have a president that is clearly not all there.
It's America's Life Coach. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
O.J. Simpson died earlier today at the age of 76. All these years later, I still can't believe those white folks tried to frame him the way they did.
You are so dumb. You are really dumb. For real.
Listen, we do try to take the high road when somebody dies, even if they were a double murderer like OJ. But this affects me in a very unique way. So it's going to be one of those shows where, you know, I was giving you this lecture yesterday about how a lot of us use comedy to cope with things that are too complex for us to process. You know, when I was in fourth grade, we were watching the Space Shuttle Challenger take off on live television.
That can't be good.
And that wasn't good. And for a lot of people, they stayed in the classroom and cried. A lot of lunatics like myself ran out to the playground and immediately started telling jokes. And that's how we processed it. Well, I've always been one of those people. When it comes to big, crazy breaking news, we've always been more inclined to take the torment away by joking about it. You know, in this instance, you know, the OJ trial, the murder of Nicole Brown Simpson and Ron Goldman, and of course, the ensuing civil case where he was found liable, and he later went to jail over a memorabilia issue where he was stealing back stuff he had supposedly signed in Las Vegas. OJ has always been a seminal figure in my life because he murdered his wife, allegedly, when I was coming of age as a media consumer. It's 1994. I was a junior in high school. I, of course, knew him from the Naked Gun movies. I knew him from the Hertz commercials. Okay, I knew him, you know, as an NFL sports fan who rushed for 273 yards against the Detroit Lions, which is a lot easier to do at the time than it is today. They actually have this thing now called the defense. But he was always somewhat of a seminal figure for me in one of those, you know how they say there's no such thing as bad publicity? I do believe this was bad publicity for him as it pertains to my life. But he's always been a reference in some form or another, or a metaphor for a lot of other things that have gone wrong in society. So as we learn the news today that he is dead at the age of 76, it's kind of a bizarre, you know, folding into the show of what he did. Because for me and for many people my age, this was the trial. Like, you were probably watching this all on every second of it, every second of it on live TV. The other thing, though, you know, is if you remember, okay, the O.J. chase did not go according to plans. And what I mean by that is Al Michaels was doing the broadcast and they wound up taking live calls of people who supposedly had tips. If you remember, someone called into the studio saying it was Al Cowlings and it wound up being a prank caller who was a fan of the Howard Stern show. It was kind of funny in real time, and I only invoke that because it reminds me of something I watched this morning on MSNBC. Thankfully, no one was killing each other or fleeing a murder scene. They wouldn't report on such a thing when you could be showing January 6th footage. Come on, what are we talking about here? Murder? Border? Fentanyl poisoning deaths? Trump's a threat to democracy! That's what they'd tell you. I mean, my good
journalism in this country is dead and buried.
But in terms of live broadcasts going awry, here is MSNBC today. Okay, somebody had the brilliant idea of being like, we'll put together a panel of voters and they'll show the world that all the critiques of Biden's economy, it's just misinformation.
Wrong.
This is spectacular because I promise you the clip I'm about to play you was not the plan. Okay, for how this should go down on live TV. We saw this one other time a few months ago with MSNBC. Do you remember they did the segment where they were going into the black barbershop? And they're like, oh, we're going to go into the black barbershop. And everybody there, you know, black voters traditionally lean left. They're all going to tell us they're voting for Biden. The guy they were interviewing, if you remember, goes, well, personally, I'm not a big fan of Trump. But everybody I know in the black community is voting for Donald Trump. At which point the MSNBC control room is like, So I don't know whose idea it was, but they went back to the well on the Biden economy and got a very predictable result. When you consider the people they were talking to, do not get their economic messaging from cable news networks. I told you this yesterday. Your economic messaging does not come from Fox News. Does not come from CNN, does not come from MSNBC. Your economic messaging comes from the cash register and it comes from your bank balance. You look at those two things and the numbers tell you what's going on.
When you're right, you're right, and you're right.
Here's MSNBC learning that the hard way, clip six.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right. So that is everybody. President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. He said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of? Sean, since you had the best smile in Virginia, the second best smile, what are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but You can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to you know, invest and start moving around.
Are there Biden policies that you would blame for the problem? And if so, what are they?
The interest rate is so high right now, and I know they're trying to cut the inflation down, but like, if nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania right now to keep us moving forward.
And the best part of that clip, okay, the best part for me personally is he goes, raise your hand if you think Trump's policies were better for your family. At which point the moderator goes, oh, okay, so everybody? At which point a producer clearly gets in his ear, because now that they didn't get the result they wanted, okay, remember this. What MSNBC's job is to do, they have a playbook. I know plenty of people who work there. This is what they do. Like, I tell you what Fox does all the time. Everybody's like, oh, Fox, just a right-wing attack measure. Guys are just in the tank for the Republican Party. Do you know how many times the Republican Party takes shots at us? Do you know how many times Donald Trump takes shots at us?
That's true. That is true.
Why? Because our party is not the Republican Party and those clowns running the House of Representatives. Our party is America.
Freedom!
Okay, we talk on behalf of America. We favor America first policies. We favor a strong border. We favor limited government. We favor low taxes. We favor a non-interventionist policy that keeps us out of forever wars. And so if someone's in line with those beliefs, yes, they'll hear kind words from Fox News. If someone counters that, okay, we're going to have to call balls and strikes, because, again, we're here on behalf of America. The reason we go on the road and meet thousands of people every weekend like I do, like Kill Me does, like the Cats and Gregs and Tyruses of the world, everybody goes and does it, is because we are very much one with the American people. We don't know who's walking in the door. We just know we like meeting the working class American people, because it's what we all come from. This is not a network of elites. Everybody who runs this place, okay, as the son or daughter of somebody, okay, who worked in a very modest middle class upbringing, okay, and learned to value hard work and accountability and personal reliance and things of that nature. But in any event, at MSNBC, I know the playbook. I've got friends who work there. I get to go to all the media parties. Their job every day is to tell self-hating white people that they know better than those rubes in the middle of the country, those stupid, racist Trump supporters. Those misogynist, homophobic, transphobic, white supremacists who worship Orange Cheeto, Hitler Jesus, turn on MSNBC, and some race-baiting buffoon, okay, will be there to tell you you know better than the middle of the country. That's the job. So when they go out and put together this panel, which is on Morning Joe, of all places, believe me, they're not putting on Morning Joe. They're not putting on Morning Joe to make Joe Biden look bad.
You're right. And when you're right, you're right.
And you're always right.
Don't ever forget, a week ago, we spent a half a day playing you a Morning Joe clip of him saying, shame on you for not realizing you're better off now than you were 4 years ago. Shame on you for thinking it was even a choice between Trump and Biden. Well, apparently, none of these people got the memo. So the MSNBC playbook, which started out with, hey, these people will come on and bash Biden, it's going to be great. That didn't happen. So what did the producer do? And you'll hear it here in the clip. I'll play it for you again one more time. They clearly said to the guy moderating this, well, ask them. Ask them what was better about Trump's policies. Because they won't be able to articulate that. And then we can say to the viewers at least, look, yeah, they thought Trump was better. But look, they didn't even know what they were talking about.
Ah, you have a good eye, my man.
Listen to me. Okay, he asks people to raise their hand if they think it was better under Trump. Everyone there, every single person on their panel raised their hand. So what do they pivot to in real time? Oh, well, let's see if you can say why it was better. These guys don't know what they're talking about. Hear it one more time, clip six.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Just raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right, so that is everybody. President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. He said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of, Sean, since you had the best smile in Virginia, the second best smile, what are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post 2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but you can't blame everything on 2020 forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to invest and start moving around.
Are there Biden policies that you would blame for the problem? And if so, what are they?
The interest rate is so high right now, and I know they're trying to cut the inflation down, but like, nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania right now to keep us moving forward.
I'm not laughing at these people having a hard time. I'm laughing because I promise you, the way you build TV shows, oh, it's so great. The way these TV shows get built, everybody gets into a room in the morning. They show up with like the 10 stories they saw that day that they thought would be interesting to the audience. And then you figure out, are we going to book a guest who's an expert on this topic? Are we going to run a poll? Are we going to have the panel talk about it? How are we going to settle on the stories we want to cover? And how will we ultimately cover them? Well, somebody with all the fiber in their being, okay, winds up getting a story onto the show by pitching it, as I said, with all the fiber of their being. This is a brilliant idea. We need to run it on TV. So I laugh for a multitude of reasons at that clip. One, it's that MSNBC did not sign up for some honest commentary on Biden's economy. But two, I'm thinking of the producer who sold this segment really, really hard.
Oh, my mistake.
Had to suck to watch that play out in real time. My word. But here's the rest of it, because it's so funny. Because, again, the moderator knows what's happened. Okay, oh, no, they just bashed Biden in real time on our air. Let's try and make them look stupid. So at least the viewers go, well, I mean, yeah, this isn't a real Biden bash. These are people you don't have to take seriously. Except these people are speaking to very specific challenges that didn't exist before Biden got into office. That's the biggest problem with right now. You could blame Trump for anything you want in the media. They're going to run the play. Okay, Trump's bad. Okay, Trump killed OJ. White supremacy. Okay, they're going to run the play. That's what they're going to do. They're in the Trump-hating business.
The media is a bunch of losers.
But, you know, when I say this, the phrase you hear a lot about read the room, they're not even in the room. They are not even in the room because the problems, okay, that are polling 1 through 10 in the election right now are problems they don't cover. The border, the economy, inflation, the cost of gas. Guys, you know what's not in the top five? What pronouns you use or how we're handling the climate crisis.
That is correct.
You know what else isn't in the top 10? Are you ready for it? January 6th.
You are correct, sir.
The threats to democracy.
You're absolutely right.
The things they cover are not things you care about. That's why they get broadsided, blindsided by a clip like this one, clip 7.
Even if you're trying to
buy a house because I'm trying to become a first-time home buyer. The prices are so high right now. It's just hard.
Is there anything Joe Biden could do or say between now and the time you vote that would make you feel differently about feeling that his policies would not be as good for your family on the economy? Or are you pretty much decided that Trump's policies would be better for the economy?
I mean, I feel like he doesn't even take accountability for what's at all with what's going on in the economy. Not even accountability. Like, he's in denial that it's happening.
The point is Biden needs to hear the people, because when he's talking about the economy doing stellar, he's talking about the stock market. He's not looking at homelessness or joblessness. He's not, at Angie's point, thinking about how much it costs to go to the grocery store. And he's gaslighting literally everyone in the process.
And Omar, you voted for Joe Biden last time, right?
Yeah.
Some really important and hard insights for the Biden campaign to hear there. And hearing all that, you might think things are pretty bad for President Biden. That was not good.
Uh-oh, I'm in trouble.
And did you hear how shaken she was in her voice? Because, again, they got in the pitch meeting that morning, and they're like, we'll ask a bunch of everyday Americans how the economy is affecting them. And it'll work. It'll be great for us. And yeah, that's the good news, Mika. You got a bunch of everyday Americans in front of a camera. The bad news is you got a bunch of everyday Americans in front of a camera.
You're listening to the hottest show in the country.
Our country is in serious trouble.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon. Going to the phones real quick, because someone like myself who was watching the trial of the century is standing by to weigh in. Michael's in Fitzgerald, Georgia. Michael!
Good afternoon, Jimmy. Can you imagine 30 years ago? It seems like yesterday with that trial, right?
That's the craziest part. Yeah.
Wow, the slow speed white Bronco chase. Judge Ito, and for better or worse, it's the first time we all heard the name Kardashian.
Wow. That's crazy. But that
Isn't that crazy?
That's where it all started, the juice.
Do you remember where you were? I remember exactly where I was when that verdict was announced. It's like, you know, the Kennedy assassination. I mean, it's one of those kind of levels, don't you think?
Yeah, I was watching the NBA Finals. The Knicks were playing the Houston Rockets. I was at my buddy Steve Robbins' house, and it was nuts. They broke into live coverage, and we were like, what the hell is this? Now, I will have go ahead.
Yeah, go ahead.
No, you take it away.
Think about this. This is before social media. Mm-hmm. We all had to be glued to our TV, and we were.
Oh, yeah.
To TV, to newspapers, to the Inquirer about this whole trial for weeks. Mm-hmm. It was an amazing time, you know?
Yeah, it was nuts. What's so crazy about it now is, like, because there would have been so much social media attention paid to this, we would have got over the story in, like, 3 days. And we were almost like, because that's what we do now. Now we consume stuff so relentlessly that we just kind of stop talking about it. Like, let me give you an example. Like, 6 months ago, the Navy was like, by the way, aliens are real. They've landed on Earth. We don't even acknowledge that as a story. Like, it's crazy. So I don't know what to tell you.
The news cycle in like a day.
Yeah.
Like, what?
I know. So, I mean, the OJ thing at least takes us back to a time where we were a little more sane. But that ship has sailed. That's an entirely different Bronco chase altogether. Good stuff, Michael. I'll see you Saturday, buddy.
Yes,
let's go. There he goes. There we go.
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, boy. Here we go. Here we go. Big hour coming up on Fox Across America, an audio safe space for cool people. I am unapologetically a conservative, but this is not a conservative talk show. It is an American talk show.
Freedom!
And all that really means to you, the listener, is...
I don't care where you come from. I don't care what color you are. I don't care how smart you are. I don't care how dumb you are.
No, ma'am. You are all welcome. This great land of ours, not built on agreement. It was very much built on tactful disagreement. And as much as people would like you to believe This is the most divided time there's ever been in our country. Guys, back in the 1700s, politicians settled their differences with duels where they shot each other. Think about that. And the winner lived and the loser voted Democrat in the next election somehow. Just being silly. But 888-788-9910 if you want to be a part of this hour. An hour that will include the great Tudor Dixon. People are very pro-Tudor on this show. She makes a lot of appearances on my Saturday night TV show, Fox News Saturday Night with Jimmy Fallon. If you've never seen it, watch it. Come on, what are you doing? It's a cable news keg party. But what's going on down at the southern border right now, the opposite thereof. Don't get me wrong, plenty of substances are crossing our border right now that you might find at the keg party. But man, oh boy, oh man. Okay, the president making an announcement yesterday that he's now considering executive action on the border. Okay, executive action on the border. Okay, but understand, it was executive action by this president that opened the border.
Bingo, man, bingo.
And they were trying desperately, okay, a month ago, to make a border deal with Republicans. Okay, a deal that, by the way, wasn't going to stop the flow of illegal immigration. It was going to legalize it. It wasn't closing the border. Under the new guidelines that they had put in place, guidelines that were wisely rejected by Congress, it would have just capped illegal immigration, illegal, not legal, not legal, not the Ellis Island thing that this country was built on, illegal. Okay, it would have capped illegal immigration at 5,000 people a day. Now, does that sound like closing the border?
The answer would be no.
No, like when you go to the store, if they say, we're closed, sorry. Okay, they don't say, but 5,000 of you can come in. We're closed, but 5,000 of you can come in. We'll be closed again this time tomorrow, at which point only 5,000 of you will be able to come in. Point being, okay, if the border is closed, you're not letting anybody in.
That's true. That is true.
Okay, they're fine with illegal immigration. They want illegal immigration. What you consider a failure at the border, okay, you consider for a multitude of reasons a failure. One, okay, if you care about this country, okay, the record level of fentanyl poisoning deaths that are plaguing Americans of every political persuasion, that matters to you. Okay, fentanyl doesn't ask a kid who he voted for. It just kills him. Sad. Breaks your heart, man. Okay, there's tens of thousands of kids getting sex trafficked at our southern border. Okay, again, none of them are being asked who they voted for. Okay, the humanitarian crisis we're witnessing is real, whether we're talking about drug traffickers or human traffickers or, you know, the reality that they say 30% of the women who cross our border illegally are sexually assaulted. That's horrific. So we're talking about the plight of them, the people on the other side of the border trying to come here. Just from that standpoint, really bad. Then you talk about the effects of how this impacts America, whether we're talking about decimating the labor force, as we've seen in the past year. Okay, American-born laborers have lost 2.5 million jobs in the past year. Foreign laborers have gained 900,000. That is by design. Okay, the big companies that support Joe Biden, that support big government, want cheap labor, increases their profit margins. So you let people into the country illegally, makes it a lot cheaper to produce work. Okay, understand though, there's a third fold to this, okay, is the reality that we both knew in Washington, okay, both parties, okay, for as long as there's been a Washington, they've both supported a secure border because there's not a legitimate country in the world that doesn't have a secure border.
Tell them like it is.
Okay, and understand that Americans in both parties voted for border wall funding under George W. Bush, and they did it again under Barack Obama.
I don't see you doing any better in the booty department.
Okay, but when Trump ran for office on Build a Wall, they turned that into a lane of attack. They didn't like his rhetoric towards migrants, so they were like, that's it, we should be building bridges. Should be building bridges, not walls. That's what they said. And then they all went home to their houses that were surrounded by walls.
Democrats are so full of crap.
Nobody's building a bridge onto their property, so they don't know who's coming in. And even if you want to tell me they were saying that in a metaphorical sense, the fact remains, okay, all of the posturing they did about no human being is illegal. Okay, if they don't want them, we'll take them. Every single Democratic sanctuary city mayor who said that under Trump was saying it because they knew they weren't going to have to take migrants because the guy was shutting down the border.
That's true. That is true.
So it was political posturing. Hey, whoa, wait a minute. No human beings are how dare you, Donald? The poem on the Statue of Liberty. If you don't want them, we'll take them. But there was one problem, okay? They weren't going to take them. They didn't have to take them because Trump wasn't letting them come in illegally. Now that 10 million people have made it into the country illegally and these sanctuary cities are starting to get tasked with housing migrants, what are every one of them saying?
Get them out of here. Get them out.
Can't do this. This is crazy. Come on. We need the federal government. What do you think we are, a sanctuary city or something? Just because we said we were a sanctuary city doesn't mean we wanted to be a sanctuary city. Think of Martha's Vineyard. Martha's Vineyard, okay, is the wealthiest vacation enclave in America. They have more money than any other hangout spot in America. Martha's Vineyard was asked to take in 42 migrants. 42 migrants. 42. And they threw them out in 24 hours.
That's just how white folks will do you.
And not only did they do you that way, but they did so knowing that every single sign in Martha's Vineyard is like, in this town, we believe no human being is illegal. Everybody is welcome. And then 42 migrants walked into Martha's Vineyard.
But buenos dias.
Buenos dias.
At this point, they were like,
ah, no, no.
Because they didn't actually want them. It's all political posturing. But you understand, we consider the border a failure because it's straining our resources. It's leading to higher rates of violent crime and fentanyl poisoning deaths. But there is a component of the Democratic Party that really does love what's going on at the border. Why? Because in the Democratic Party, they are fighting to have illegal immigrants counted in the census. Okay, why is that a thing? Because if they're counted in the census, that affects how money is allocated to individual congressional districts. And oh, by the way, that affects how individual congressional districts are drawn up, which means in a lot of areas where the Democrats might currently be losing, if you import a few million people, make them dependent on the government, they're a lot more likely to vote for the government. Okay, this used to be called the Great Replacement Theory. Right-wingers are saying this. Because they just want people to be scared of migrants. They just want the whites to be scared of other races. Except the problem is, this is not freak out brown people are coming. The people coming to our southern border are coming from 150 countries around the world. Okay, they're every ethnicity you can think of, number one. Number two, we've got a few hundred of them on the terror watch list. The terror watch list. Remember 9/11? Remember Never Forget? A lot of people forgot. Okay, there was a time in this country, if you found one guy on the terror watch list, everybody stopped what they were doing till we understood how the hell he got there and who was responsible for the oversight. Okay, now we're in the world where you get a few hundred of them show up a year that we know of. And we're like, what are you doing talking about that? Why? Because they're brown people? Why? Because they're not from a country you like? Do you understand we're fighting the wrong battle? So Senator John Kennedy from Louisiana is talking to Homeland Secretary Mayorkas, Homeland Security Secretary Mayorkas yesterday about the border crisis. Okay, and incredibly, Mayorkas, the guy who's been telling us the border is secure, it is my belief the border is secure. The border's secure.
You are so full of sh.
Well, like Joe Biden before him, now that this has become a massive electoral liability, okay, and they realize they're not going to be able to pass legislation to solve a problem they started, because understand, the reason they wanted legislation is because if they go the executive order route, then they've essentially admitted to the world that they never should have signed the original 91 executive orders that opened up the border.
I think he's got a point.
Okay, understand, we're in this position. They created the crisis by opening up the border through executive action. They signed executive orders, 91 of them, to reverse what Donald Trump did. You dig? So we're not going to build a wall. We're going to pay people to destroy the material. So we're not going to enforce Title 42. Okay, so we're not going to encourage what they decried as family separation. Family separation started under George W. Bush. It existed to make sure kids coming across the border weren't being sex trafficked. Okay, people seeking asylum know that they have a 99% chance of getting their case granted if they're accompanied by a minor. So what do the drug traffickers, what do the sex traffickers do? They show up with kids because it gives them an easier chance of getting through.
It's people with a dirty mind that think like that.
Totally. So Bush started separating them wisely because he wanted to make sure the kid was with somebody he should be in the custody of. You know who else did that? Barack Obama. So when the Democrats, and you know, wage their performance art against Trump and kids in cages, He's putting kids in cages. Like, this is unbelievable. Okay, what ultimately happened? Okay, the New York Times went out and ran a photo of the kids in cages. But they happened, according to the Associated Press, to have been built and photographed in 2014 under Barack Obama. And this is the problem with performance art politics. Okay, everybody getting on TV in propaganda mode. Okay, everybody opposing things just because the other side supports it. Okay, is essentially just a world where two children are fighting so hard for control of the toy, they wreck the toy. Okay, the border is so essential to our well-being in this country, and we're wrecking the toy by pretending that the border shouldn't be secure. Why? Because one country wants the change in demographics. But knowing there's not a package coming that's going to deliver Biden a legislative win, he's now acknowledging that he might need to sign some executive orders, which in a roundabout way is also an admission that he's only doing this because it's an election year. Because he spent the last 3 years telling you it wasn't a problem, it's a Republican talking point, but now it's become such a liability at the polls that he's out there saying, you know, if I could sign an executive order. So here's Mayorkas, step one, agreeing that we suddenly have a crisis at the border. The guy who's been telling you for 3 years it didn't happen, it's a Republican talking point, go back to bed. Here he is admitting it, clip 15.
Would you call it a crisis at the southern border?
Yes, I wouldn't. As a matter of fact, I work every single day with the men and women in the Department of Homeland Security to only strengthen the security of our southern border as well as a northern border. And we deploy personnel from different parts of our department whenever the situation so warrants and the situation at the border so warrants.
So did you hear what he said there? We deploy personnel as the situation warrants the situation. He's lying. 10 million people have come in illegally. 10 million people. So where was, at what point did it warrant this level? I would imagine at 1 million it would should. At 2 million, at 5 million, at 10 million. No, what the number was a pull number. It wasn't about the number of migrants, wasn't the amount of people being sex trafficked, wasn't the amount of fentanyl poisoning deaths. Those numbers don't matter. The pull numbers, oh, do they matter? Okay, and here's John Kennedy talking about him about the politics of this, clip 17.
It gives me no joy to say this, but most Republicans don't trust you. And a vast majority of the American people don't trust you. That's why you've been impeached. Now, my Democratic colleagues are going to try to sweep your impeachment under the rug and violate 200 years of Senate precedent in doing it. I don't think that they will be able to sweep the issue, maybe your impeachment, but not the issue, under a rug as big as the United States of America.
And here's the rest of that, and he's telling you the truth. They just want to make the problem go away. But the problem isn't going away at the polls because the people bearing the consequence of an open border are not the Democrats, okay? It's the everyday American who've seen, you know, resources in their city strained, okay? Who've seen the drugs, sadly. Okay, here's a little more John Kennedy, clip 18.
You've done nothing for 4 years. Nada. Zero.
Absolutely false.
Zilch. And in fact, the only people I know in this country who are better off today than they were 4 years ago are illegal immigrants. And that's as a result of your policy. I don't hate you for it. I don't hate anyone. But that's why you've been impeached. And my colleagues may try to cover it up. They're going to try to cover it up. But they can't cover up the facts.
And that's just reality. Okay? They didn't care. They didn't care about how this affected you. But they very much care about how it affects them. So when somebody like Biden says, oh, we'll consider an executive order. When somebody like Mayorkas says, oh, we're going to deploy the resources if necessary. The resources were necessary 10 million people ago.
Step into my office.
Why?
Because you're fired.
A show so good, it's hard to describe.
It's not a matter of, it's a matter of, you just, oh, in the club, I mean, and you know.
It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
You know, so,
There it is, Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Talking about the border for a hot minute, because Tudor Dixon is right around the corner. Here is Biden. Okay, flat out saying he's now considering executive action on the border okay? Something he was telling you was not possible a few weeks ago.
This guy's a serious ass.
Yo, I just want you to know this, and I'll play the clip, and we can get on with our lives. Okay, I had my wife on yesterday. Jenny's just the coolest person I know. Jenny's like a very good brand ambassador for me. She's funny, she's sweet, and she's, you know, a little softer around the edges than I am. I'm a mess, okay? That's a, you know, I don't think anybody's been misled here. I have not sold you this pristine human. I am a disaster.
I admire your honesty.
Well, there you go. Well, Jenny Fallah, you know, she comes on and she really does round things out well because she's, you know, very intelligent and she's sweet and relatable and syrupy and all the good stuff, okay? Jenny was on yesterday because we were talking specifically about the difficulties of living as poor people at a time of great financial tumult, okay? Something we did for most of Lincoln's young life. And we were trying to give you survival tips on how to stretch a buck and maybe get ahead. Okay, and one of the things we came back to that really bothers us both about politics is the indifference people have to the carnage their policies are causing. Like Biden telling you yesterday, the economy's fine, don't worry about it. When you're not fine, that's an indifference. Biden telling you now that he can, oh, I could actually maybe sign some executive orders. I'm not promising it's going to work, but maybe I could. Okay, that means he knew he could do this a year ago. That means he knew he could do this 2 years ago. That means he knew he could do this at the very time he was reversing the policies he's now being asked to reinstate, which means he did not care. He did not care how this affected you.
He knows what he's talking about.
Here it is, clip 19.
It suggested that we're examining whether or not I have that power. I would have that power under the legislation when the border has over 500,000 people, 5,000 people a day trying to cross the border because you can't manage it, slow it up. There's no guarantee that I have that power all by myself without legislation. And some are suggesting I should just go ahead and try it. And if I get shut down by the court, I get shut down by the court. But we're trying to work through that right now.
I mean,
garbage like you just makes me sick.
But what's the excuse? Some say I should just try and get shut down by the court. You know, but I don't know if I want to just go get shut down by the court. Do you know what he's gotten shut down by the court on multiple occasions? All of his policies. Okay, the court made him at first enforce Title 42. The court shot down student loan forgiveness. Okay, which means the difference between securing the border and trying to buy votes, okay, is that he's only willing to fight to the high court for one of them. But here's a newsflash. The court doesn't consider it illegal to defend the border. The president does.
You have no idea how to defend a nation.
Reality with a bit of insanity. It's Fox Across America with Jimmy Fallon.
Oh, girl. We are fired up to talk to this next guest, superstar host of the Tudor Dixon podcast, immortalized in Saturday Night Television history for his suggestion that we spice up presidential politics with mud wrestling. Tudor Dixon is here to get paid in singles. Hey, girl.
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Does Sarah not want us mentioning the mud wrestling anymore?
I'm sure Sarah doesn't, but you know what? She's had to deal with a lot.
Is Sarah clutching her Trump Bible right now over this comment?
Her little Midwestern pearl.
Oh, Sarah, we love Sarah. Well, anyway, I hope you're holding up well. I know O.J. Simpson meant a lot to you personally. This is a tough day for you, but I appreciate you coming on the show. I'm kidding, Tudor Dixon. People are like, what?
It's so funny that you say that, though, because, of course, that alert came through on my phone, and I was like, oh, my gosh, you guys, O.J. Simpson died, and everybody looked at me, and they're like, yeah, okay. And I was like, oh, I'm so old.
Yeah, that is funny. So you want to laugh? I was telling the audience this earlier. You know, we play these weird games on my show. It'll be like strip club or daycare or something like that. 2 weeks ago.
Yes, I'm aware.
Okay, so 2 weeks ago, Victor, my executive producer, and I actually made a game for this week based on O.J. Now, the reason it was being done this week is we have a rapper on from House of Pain. They sing jump around, that whole song. Anyway, the game was called Rhyme and Punishment. It was based on the fact that O.J. was found not guilty because his attorney rhymed. You know, if the glove don't fit, it must acquit. So we built this 2 weeks ago. We decided to hold it for this week just because we were going to have a rapper on. And he died, as you'd imagine, which makes us look a lot more creative and topical than we are. Like, I can be honest with the 11. I can be honest with the American people. We didn't come up with this in real time. But that's the magic of showbiz, Tudor Dixon, is sometimes the news cycle hands you one.
But no, it's funny, though, because I was thinking about this and I'm like, gosh, doesn't everybody know where they were when the OJ chase was going on? And I'm like, do people, is that a weird thing to remember?
It isn't, just because it was such like, it was such an enormous news break because we'd never seen anything like it before. And there wasn't social media. So we also all consumed it the same way. Everybody remembers where they were. It was somewhere in front of a TV. Whereas now news breaks and you can literally, oh, I was kite surfing. You know what I mean? Oh, I was on a plane. You know, this, you could be anywhere. So you don't actually get that thing the way you did. We're a very fragmented society. So in a lot of ways, like OJ and that trial was the last like collective attention span. You know what I mean? Because it was a mega event that could only be consumed one way. So wild times, wild times. But Tuna Dixon, I don't know that we booked you for your OJ expertise as much as you probably have. There's a couple of things I wanted to get to. I had Jenny Fallon on yesterday, another big fan of yours. And we were just talking about inflation and how the White House telling the average everyday American who's trying to hold a household together that things are fine, shut up, really does demonstrate a level of indifference to the suffering going on financially, does it not?
Well, I just think it's so it's on brand for them to think that they can tell you what you see every day, what you suffer with every day is actually not happening.
Yep.
This is the number one way to gaslight someone is to say, when you go to the grocery store, even though you're paying $1,000 more a month than you were when Donald Trump was in office, it's really not that bad. Mm-hmm. I mean, once you get to this point of inflation, you don't roll it back. And the problem is now we're getting these numbers and saying, oh, inflation's ticking up again. We've got an uptick in inflation. Well, how are they going to spin that? How are they going to say, okay, the economy is great under Joe Biden? They can't, because people feel it every day. And even more so in Michigan, in the Midwest, we're feeling it because we've got higher gas prices than anyone in the Midwest. We've got higher energy prices. So you include your utility prices, your gas prices, and then you go to the grocery store and it's more expensive. People here are really, really struggling.
Yep.
And they're going, you got to be kidding me. You think I'm going to believe that my inflation is down?
Oh, it's such a scam. Tudor Dixon is on the line. We're excited about it. He says yesterday at the White House, he goes, well, you know, inflation, which has been skyrocketing since before I took office. It didn't exist when he took office. And he obviously took it to a 40-year high. But it's the same type of indifference that we've seen when it comes to the border, is they try to tell you, oh, it's, you know, it's a messaging thing. It's a Republican thing. But when it comes to the economy, the messaging comes from the cash register and the bank account, as you know. When it comes to the border, it's the messaging is what people see around them in their everyday lives. And I don't know that they get this. I don't, like, you know, the whole gaslighting thing you mentioned earlier. I don't know that they're done running that play. Like, do you think they're getting the message? I think they're going to try to stay the course and hope the media bails them out.
Well, now they're saying that Biden might come out with an executive action because an executive order because the border is so bad. But once they lose control, because once families start talking about it, once you see the story with Lake and Riley, and moms are going, wait a minute, my daughter's in college. Yeah. Is this going to happen to my daughter? Once you see Ruby Garcia, who was manipulated by this illegal immigrant who comes in and starts dating her and then murders her. I mean, think about that. These people are coming in. They're dangerous. They have criminal records. This is a guy Trump deported, and then he starts dating an innocent Grand Rapids woman, a young 25-year-old woman, and she gets murdered in her own vehicle. I mean, this kind of stuff is hard to hide. It's hard to say you're safe when people are getting killed in their own car, you know, by people who are coming across the border and coming across Joe Biden's border. We've proven that it's Joe Biden's border. I mean, this stuff at this point, they know it's a problem because it's national news, and Donald Trump is going out and saying, hey, I told you I'd keep you safe in 2016. I showed you for 4 years how I could keep you safe and how I could reduce the number of people coming across that border and close the border. And then this guy comes in and opens it wide up. And now it's a monthly thing that we have to hear about a young woman who was murdered by someone who came into this country illegally. Look, there is no American that is going, yeah, I'm okay with a death every month. No way.
Yeah, that's crazy. Tudor Dixon is on the line. We're having a grown-up talk about the border and everything else. And I think the thing that drives me crazy is there's an indifference. There's a real indifference, because when you hear something like he's considering an executive action, the reason they've tried to avoid it for as long as they have is because we got here because of executive actions that they took. And I think one of the reasons they wanted this done through legislation is it would give him like a deliverable personally, meaning not a deliverable for you or me or anybody out there who's scared of what's going on at the border, but a deliverable for them because they could act like or at least create the perception that they were solving a problem. But it's a problem they didn't want to solve, or they wouldn't have caused it in the first place. And, you know, as Senator John Kennedy was saying to Homeland Secretary Mayorkas yesterday, the Democrats kind of want this. Like, we consider this a failure. They considered it a success because it was, you know, in congressional districts changing races and changing the allocation of money from D.C. I don't think they started to consider this a problem until it became a polling problem for them.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Look at the state of Michigan. Yeah. Suddenly, you have all of these uncommitted votes for Biden. People don't feel safe. People don't feel like he cares about them. And now he's like, oh my gosh, I could lose the state. And Michigan is key because generally what we've seen is the way Michigan goes, as Michigan goes, goes the country, right? Yep. And so everybody now has their eyes on Michigan because they thought Michigan's not in play. Then suddenly he gets 100,000 uncommitted votes. I mean, those are literally just people coming out to say, we don't like you. We are Democrats and we don't like you. That's a problem for them. So now they have to change their tune.
Oh, it's crazy, Tudor. But that is the truth. And it's so fascinating to see it in an election year because it's so transparent. It's almost like, really, if we were going to take this a step further, when you just go broad, if you look at the prosecutions of Donald Trump, there's nothing they're prosecuting him for right now that they couldn't have prosecuted him for 2 years ago or 3 years ago. So is it?
Oh, I mean, why didn't they do this in New York? Yeah. 20 years ago, 10 yeah. years ago, you know, if this was such a mm-hmm. crime that he was committing as a businessman.
Yep. And it's so funny because they're so nakedly political. And I think there was a time when you could get away with it, but it required people to have more trust in the media. And I think what the Democrats are falling victim to is, you know, what used to benefit them, which was the media would carry the line for them on whatever the hell they wanted to run. And they got away with it because people at the very least trusted the media, which would give the Democrats the benefit of the doubt. But now, nobody trusts the media. So it's not enough to get any of this over the finish line. So I would think it bodes well for Republicans, but it doesn't mean they're not going to get a summer of every one of us is a white supremacist lunatic who wants to kill women and minorities. Is that pretty much where we're headed this summer?
I mean, I think that that's what they're going to try to say. They're trying to change the narrative. Look at mm-hmm. what they have in Michigan. They have a governor who is completely flailing, doesn't know how to talk on the topics. You've got the situation that we had just a few days ago where you've got this rally, the guy that's yelling out death to America. You have the mayor of Dearborn comes out and says, hey, we don't believe in this. This is not okay. Now you have a real problem because this is a conservative community that has dealt with discrimination for being Muslim, for being Arab American, and you don't have the Democrats coming out and saying, yeah, this is not this community. This is this guy, and we condemn this guy. Gretchen Whitmer won't say a word about it. And now these people are like, we're in this situation again where you've got Gretchen Whitmer allowing people to think that all of Dearborn feels this way. They are the true racists. They are the true problem. They are putting people in danger in the state. And her silence is not only deafening, but it is also incredibly dangerous for the community of Dearborn.
Gosh, it's so true, man. And it's crazy because the congresswoman, nobody wants to touch that one. And whenever we come back to the border and we say, hey, we all acknowledge America was built on immigration, but no one got off a boat at Ellis Island and said, death to America, I want to blow this place up. And I think that's where that dangerous conflation is happening. But Tudor, I got to be honest, we did a lot of adulting on this call today. This is a lot for us. Can we acknowledge that?
Yes.
No, usually we're on like our 12th boob joke by now. There's something about me being an alcoholic. You're coming back on the TV show. All the fun stuff. Can we confirm to the viewers, are you committed to come back on the show? Gosh, I hope so.
Absolutely, yes.
Okay.
Yes, I am.
This is a hot topic, though, because the audience loves you. And whenever we're in like our Monday production meeting, it's like one of the first two questions is Tudor on? And are we being sued for anything Tudor said last time? Those are the only. It's either is Tudor on is question one or 1A every Monday.
Yes, that's what I assume. People are always a little gun shy about having me on.
That's so fun. Not us. Not us, Tudor. We love you. You are our television rescue dog, and we're so thrilled to call you our own.
Thank you.
I'll see you in the green room. Be well.
Okay, thanks.
You too. The great Tudor Dixon. You know her. You love her. Tudor Dixon's the best. She's a mom, like a real mom. I've met her. I've met her mom. I've met her kids when they're here at Fox. There are, and I tell you this a lot, there are people in politics, whether they're analyzing it as Tudor does, or yeah, even ran for governor of Michigan at one point as Tudor did, and they blew that one because they got stuck with Gretchen Whitmer, with that commie lunatic, as Tudor was just saying, very sympathetic toward the Hamas caucus because it's a political liability to stand with Israel right now. Imagine Israel, the only ally we have in the Middle East who truly shares our values when it comes to life, when it comes to women, when it comes to gays, okay? Israel, the only person we have in the Middle East who shares our values across the board is Israel. Do you understand? Think about that. So all these woke people protesting Israel, whether they're gay or they're trans or they're a woman, okay? They're protesting Israel on behalf of countries that don't support them.
I'm surrounded by idiots.
Every single one of them. Every single one of them. So you understand it's not trendy in the Democratic Party to stand with a country that shares our values. And make no mistake about it, they share our values. Like when it comes, even when it comes to the things we're protesting, like, oh, Israel, they're killing civilians. Okay, that's not ideal. We don't want them to kill civilians. But you know who else winds up killing civilians after we get attacked by terrorists? We do. Because sometimes that is sadly and tragically the collateral damage. And I'm not advocating for you to be okay with it. I'm certainly not advocating for more of it. But the reason Israel kills civilians is because Hamas makes sure they do. That's not me talking. That's not a Fox News guy just trying to put that out there. I'm not trying to be a provocateur. Okay, I've been playing you this clip all week long. Okay, Bill Clinton, Democratic president. Here he is talking about how Hamas intentionally gets civilians killed. Clip 38.
Hamas is really smart. When they decide to rocket Israel, they insinuate themselves in the hospitals, in the schools, in the highly populous areas, and they are smart. So they try. So they try to put the Israelis in a position of either not defending themselves or killing innocents. They're good at it. They're smart. They've been doing this a long time.
Okay, understand, that's Bill Clinton.
I admire your honesty.
Flat out telling you, this is what Hamas does. They've been doing it a long time. Okay, if he said that in the modern Democratic Party,
he should be behind bars.
Okay, Joe Biden flat out threatening to withhold aid because of this very issue. Hey, ho, hey. It's because they paraglided into the country during a ceasefire, killed a few thousand people, killed parents in front of their kids in front of their parents, raped all the women. Doesn't mean you can just attack them. We need a ceasefire. Okay, do you understand? Everybody calling for a ceasefire. Okay, everybody calling for a ceasefire, and I don't want civilians to die. It's not who I am, but everybody calling for a ceasefire conveniently omits that we had a ceasefire and Hamas broke it. But now you're telling us with a straight face we should give Hamas a second ceasefire while they still hold on to our hostages?
You cannot be serious!
But that's what's going on at the top of the government.
We really are being laughed at and scoffed at throughout the world. They're not respecting our country the way they used to.
You're listening to Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
I enjoyed it. It was an unbelievably interesting experience.
It is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. We have, of course, covered the news with all kinds of aplomb, and we've also been updating the American people on the passing of Orenthal James Simpson, O.J. Simpson, dying today at the age of 76. JB in Tyler, Texas, he was watching TV that night. JB.
Hey, Jimmy. Hey, girl. How are you?
My man. Were you watching and rooting for the Rockets the night of the O.J. chase?
Absolutely. I don't remember the trial so much because I worked during the day during the trial, but I definitely remember the Houston Rockets' first trip to the finals, Akeem Olajuwon fan. I'm watching the game, and they cut off. Mm-hmm. Here's that white Bronco before they defunded the police, so it's got like 200 cop cars behind him. I missed the whole game. I yelled so loud at the TV that I woke up my four-month-old newborn. My wife got on to me. It was a terrible night, and I missed the whole game because of OJ's chase.
Oh, that's something. Well, as a Knicks fan, we were happy to miss the remaining games in that series.
Yeah, we happened to win that series. Patrick didn't pull that one out his first trip, but it's okay.
We'll take it. But, yeah, it was wild, and it just – isn't it hard for you to – fathom that it was 30 years ago?
Oh my goodness, you're making me feel old.
it's crazy. You want to really feel old? So my producer had just told me I'm 47 years old, and he said, do you realize OJ was 46 when that trial went down? So he's younger than I am now. And that right. kind of screws me up, because at the time I was like a high school kid, and I certainly looked at him as being much older than me. But here we are, 30 years. I don't know where the hell the time went. I hope you did something good with it. I had some fun.
I blinked a couple of times, and it was gone.
It's nuts, right? It's crazy. Well,
absolutely.
Listen, man, I appreciate you sharing your whereabouts on the story and taking time to correspond with your radio buddy. I'm going to lose you to commercial break, but I hope you have a hell of a weekend, my man.
You too. We love you, Jimmy. Keep up the good work.
JB, you're the man. I'll see you soon. We'll hang out at Bucky's. There he goes, the great JB. Oh, we'll go hit one of those barbecue joints in East Texas. If you live in East Texas, you have no excuse not to be eating barbecue right now because it's so good. I'm not supposed to be talking about food. Here comes the guy again.
Put that cookie down now!
Live from everywhere USA, it's Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, man, here we go. Here we go. Comedy alive from the greatest country in the world. Broadcasting as we do every dang day from the tippy top of the world famous Fox News headquarters in New York City. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla getting fired up because Emily Campagno, the human happy hour, is coming by to have a chit chat about all things America. We are, of course, making sense of the death of O.J. Simpson, who died today at the age of 76 for the juice. A guy a lot of people thought should die in prison.
That's true. That is true.
Because he did get away with a double homicide. So a complex day to say the least, because most of the emotion is certainly negative. But there's this also this reactionary thing we're going through as a team, if only because the OJ chase was definitely one of those you remember where you were when it happened moments. So, you know, we're just kind of processing things as we do, taking it seriously, but not taking ourselves seriously at all whatsoever, because that's how we roll on this show.
Can you dig it? Can you dig it? Can you dig it?
The crowd at Chick-fil-A digging Donald Trump yesterday while he was on a campaign swing down in Georgia. Video has since gone viral. It's a really fascinating juxtaposition for the second consecutive week. Do you remember we had Trump in New York for a cop's funeral? Sadly, 31-year-old Jonathan Diller was killed by a violent thug who had no business being anywhere near polite society, with an arrest record as long as his was. But on the very day that Trump flew up to New York purely for that funeral, okay, Biden, of course, was at a $100,000 a head fundraiser with Barack Obama and Bill Clinton over at Radio City. And if you remember, Barack Obama with a straight face, I played the clip 100 times last week, said Donald Trump doesn't care about the little guy. But Joe Biden, he does.
Wrong.
Donald Trump was at the little guy's funeral. Joe Biden was charging people $100,000 to come watch Bill Clinton and Barack Obama complete his sentences for him, because he doesn't often stick the landing.
You know, the rapidly rising
Yeah, there you go. That guy's the leader of the free world. He should be in charge. No, I'm telling you, sharp as a tack. He's going to do great. It's not even...
Not even close!
He's a mess. Okay, here's a clip of Obama yesterday trying to get through a press conference by calling on a list of questions ahead of time. Clip one.
Okay. Third, next question. Who do I call on next? Hang on a second. I got my list here. Hang on. I apologize. Aurelia of AFP.
Anyway, That's the guy who's supposed to be the leader of the free world at a time when the world's on fire and we need strength more than ever. He's out there with a list of reporters to call on, so he has a list of answers he can give to their questions. I mean,
you gotta do better than that.
Believe me, enemies don't see that and go, whoa, we better watch it. Okay, they look at America like right now like it's a baseball game where we have a catcher with a weak arm. You know, at the beginning of a baseball game when the team's in warm-ups and you see the catcher throw down the second, and you go, wow, this guy's got a pretty weak throw down the second. We are running all day. Okay, well, that's what our enemies see around the globe. Every time Joe Biden gets in front of a microphone, they watch him throw down the second base, except the ball winds up at third for some reason, and then he walks off the field with one out left to go in the inning because the guy's a disaster, at which point they're like, we are running on this guy. Okay, that's where they find themselves. So you understand, though, this is not about Biden being a mess. I can't really break any ground by telling you that. We felt that way for the better part of, you know, the last 5 years. But there's this reality of their priorities being so nakedly on display. So yesterday, again, 1 week after Trump comes in to New York for a cop's funeral and consoles the family while Biden's doing a $100,000 a head fundraiser, last night, Trump goes to Chick-fil-A for dinner. Well, Biden is hosting a state dinner at the White House with the guy who owns Amazon, Jeff Bezos, and his wife, Lauren Sanchez, who is, whew, I'll tell you what, if you could have a job as either of their plastic surgeon, you are making money right now.
He knows what he's talking about.
Oh, they have got, whew, it's like an HGTV show. I'm not begrudging them. They look better than I do. But, whew, they've gone to some fixer-upper lengths to turn their campaign around. But let's talk about this for a second, because Trump goes down to Chick-fil-A, and the black workers at Chick-fil-A love the guy. They go, you know, way in.
Do you have a problem figuring out whether you're for me or Trump, and you ain't black?
Well, a lot of people might lose their black card if that's the case. Here is Trump getting mobbed at Chick-fil-A, also referring to it as the Lord's Chicken. Kind of funny. Clip three.
This has got a great American franchise, Chick-fil-A. It is. It's a great franchise. The owner is a great man who is a member of one of my clubs, and he's fantastic. And, yeah, they do very well. They're closed on Sunday.
The Lord's Chicken.
That's the Lord's Chicken. You're right. It's good chicken, too.
It's the Lord's Chicken. It's one of those things Trump says that's just funny, but you don't know why. You know, it's the Lord's Chicken. But here's a second note. This is Trump talking about the black community. He might be exaggerating here, but anyway, here it is, clip four.
Because I've done more for the people of Atlanta than any other president by far. I've done more for the black community than any other president since Abraham Lincoln, and maybe including Abraham Lincoln, frankly, but since Abraham Lincoln. And it looks like our polling is very good in the state of Georgia overall, so we're very happy about it. But we've had, you see the support. It's been really something special.
Now, listen, I'm not, you know, a historian. I don't know where we would rank the presidents in terms of how they've helped the black community. But you could say, if you were Donald Trump, that you, not any other president, you gave historically black colleges and universities their highest recurring funding endowment ever. You could say that you signed the First Step Prison Reform Act, which freed over 300,000 nonviolent black drug offenders, which were sentenced under the Joe Biden crime bill of 1994. And you could say that you, okay, ushered in $75 billion worth of opportunity zones that helped low-income black communities. And you could, of course, say that you presided over the Trump tax cuts, which made single black parents the largest accelerators of household wealth when that bill went into effect. So Trump has a lot of claims he can make. Okay, and of course, black unemployment went down under Trump. It certainly did go up under Barack Obama.
Don't be thick, all right?
I'm being thick, just telling you the truth. So, you know, you might say Trump is exaggerating, but at the same time, there's a reason that a lot of voting blocks that didn't historically flock to him are now showing massive increases in support, whether it's the black community, the Latino community. They realize that their lives are better under Trump's policies than they are under the policies of Joe Biden.
Biden sucks.
Okay. So when you see Trump down there yesterday getting mobbed by Chick-fil-A workers, okay, and you juxtapose that against, once again, Biden is with all the elites at the White House. Now, part of that is Biden's job, you know, the people who cut up his food, tell him where he's got to go to chew it every night. So I understand that's part of the gig. But the reality couldn't be more clear in terms of how they are addressing everyday Americans, meaning Trump is spending time with them. Trump is telling you the truth about the economy being bad. Trump is telling you the truth about how they're mismanaging the government right now and making the priority everything but the American worker. That is just reality. And people are flocking to the message much the same as they did in 2016. Why? Because the media doesn't share the priorities of the voter. Why? Because the media rarely talks to the voter. If they did, they would have known not to air the segment they did on MSNBC. I played this clip earlier. Here is MSNBC. They had a focus group on yesterday. Somebody decided with a straight face that they should go on live TV with some regular voters and ask them about the economy, thinking they'd all get out there and bash Trump for them.
You can't just make up lies about people.
But you can if you're an MSNBC reporter. You can absolutely go out there. I mean, believe me, what do you think MSNBC is going to say now that that clip of Trump and the black Chick-fil-A workers is going viral? Trump bought 30 milkshakes for the customers. What do you think MSNBC is going to say now that the clip of him and the black woman hugging him has gone viral? They're going to be like, oh, well, he only bought white vanilla milkshakes. He's clearly racist. This is more white supremacy. White supremacy in a straw. That'll be the headline by the end of the day. That's what they...
Democrats are so full of crap.
Totally. Either that or they just pretend it didn't happen. But this happened on MSNBC. I played it earlier. I'll play it again because I died laughing. This is an NBC moderator asking voters about the economy and about the job Biden has done. It starts off with a guy hitting Biden in the ribs with a fastball saying he's ruined everything. So then the moderator goes, all right, well, let's see a show of hands. Who thinks Trump was better? Thinking he's going to get a show of hands, thinking nobody thinks Trump is better.
Wrong.
These people watch MSNBC. Clearly they know Trump is Hitler, Orange, Cheeto Jesus, right? No. Here it is, clip six.
I think he's been absolutely disastrous for the economy.
Mm-hmm. I agree.
Six, raise your hand if you think President Trump's policies on the economy would be better for your family personally. Raise your hand. All right, so that is everybody. President Biden argues that his economic record has been very good. He said President Trump's was not as good. What are you keying off of? Sean, since you had the best smile in Virginia, the second best smile, what are you keying off of to say President Trump's economic policies would be better for you?
I mean, my past performance of my 401k, I know it was post-2020 and everything kind of flipped around, but You can't blame everything on 2020 for forever.
We have areas here in Pennsylvania where it's just at a standstill right now. Like, things are supposed to be being built and the interest rates are just way too high for people to invest and start moving around.
Are there Biden policies that you would blame for the problem? And if so, what are they?
The interest rate is so high right now, and I know they're trying to cut the inflation down, but like, if nobody is building, no businesses are really coming to Pennsylvania right now to keep us moving forward.
Oh, man. I love that so much. But again, this is what people are actually experiencing. I'm not happy that they're going through it, but I'm happy that MSNBC got caught flat-footed the way they did because they thought the propaganda worked. But there's such an indifference to regular working class people if you're just going to get out there and tell them things are good and you should vote for the guy ruining their lives. That's not caring. That's not compassion is on the ballot. Okay? Those are people in Washington who have no regard for the people they aim to lead. And that's the truth. Like, if you're not, okay, emotionally capable of prioritizing their well-being, then you have no business leading them.
I think he's got a point.
You're listening to the show that Standard & Poor describes as Standard & Poor.
I would say he's incompetent, but I don't want to do that because that's not nice.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Oh, girl, it is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla. Joining us now in studio. She's a co-host of Outnumbered, the host of the Fox True Crime podcast. We haven't seen her on the show in a little bit, so some of you are going to get emotional. I'm sure. I'm not. I'm actually disheartened by this. I kid. Emily Campagna's back. Good to see you, Em.
I walked in. Jimmy was like, oh, you're here?
I know, it's like a whole to-do.
What but you, it's okay.
What's going on?
The family's reunited, and that's what matters.
This reminds me of the time I matched with Jenny on Tinder 10 years after we got married. We're like, wow, this is awkward. Had no idea you were on this app. I kid. That's
Jenny,
funny.
You always have a place with me.
Oh, God.
Just so you know.
Jenny has a lot of fans. I noticed I put her on TV too much because everybody's becoming you. Everybody always liked Jenny, but they were never like publicly voicing a preference for her over me. And now I'm dealing with a little bit of that. Like, when's Jenny on again? I'm like, shut up. Look, I like Jenny's outfit. I'm like, I picked it out.
You're like the Ben Affleck, Matt Damon phenomenon of 1996, where they were like, we're two separate people.
Yeah, yeah.
But to us, you're not, and
no.
Jenny's the preference.
No, and it's clearly, she's the face of the franchise right now. But I like that. Like, if you know who I am. If Jenny or, you know, Lincoln jokes, like, I'm going to take over your show, I would love it if they did. I would love to swap my schedule with theirs. I would do, I mean, not that they don't do anything, but compared to me, they don't do anything. I mean, I'm a lunatic, but I enjoy all of it. And I enjoy having you back in the studio. Real talk. OJ dies today at the age of 76. Social media, you know, there's a phrase you hear a lot of, you know, too soon when it comes to writing jokes about tragedies, not applicable today, because obviously, you know, the wind very much not at OJ's back unless he's walking towards hell. But you having quite an extensive legal background and a familiarity with this case, you had kind of mentioned to me off air that Nicole Brown was done dirty in more ways than one, not just by her lover or ex-lover, but the courts weren't exactly great to her either.
Yeah, and I think, you know, the national conversation has oftentimes centered around what they deemed was an unfair trial in the way of OJ bought his attorneys and, oh, they were such good attorneys. And I mean, sure, there's an element of truth, but the reality is that it came down to evidence. And frankly, women who are being beaten by their husbands, stalked by their husbands, and eventually and inevitably murdered by their husbands simply don't have voices. They didn't back then and they don't now. There was evidence, strong evidence, that OJ had stalked Nicole Brown for over 2 years. Mm-hmm. She wrote copious notes in her diary detailing all of the beatings and the stalkings and the harassments. She shared with friends in writing and orally that she knew he would kill her. 5 days before he did kill her, she called a battered women's shelter. And all of that I just described was not allowed in trial. All of it was inadmissible. And the prosecution, they were given approval to bring in 7 instances of stalking. They brought in 1. There in the court, it was deemed that you couldn't say domestic violence or victim, that you had to say domestic discord. And that was a phrase that the media ran with as well. And part of the reason that they did not allow in, let's say, for example, the battered women's call, and it's because she wasn't there to be questioned, right? You have the right to face your accuser. Well, she wasn't there because she was murdered. And the DOJ acknowledged in 1983, just a short time, frankly, before her murder and that of Ron Goldman, that a woman is beaten every 15 seconds. The reality is that statistic still remains today, and more women are murdered by that person than they escape with their life. And so the issue is not when will he stop. It's either he gets put in jail or she gets killed. Mm-hmm. And we've talked before, look at the Bobbitt, Lorena Bobbitt case, right? The butt of all jokes, sure. But she testified on the stand on her charges for like a crazy sort of mutilation, essentially, of the years of massive violent abuse and, anal rape and really terrible things for years. Well, she was put in jail and that guy went on to a media tour, right?
Yeah.
Mr. Bobbitt.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he ended up beating the crap out of his next girlfriend.
Wow.
The whole point is that the patterns don't stop unless the court steps in or society steps in. And right now, sadly, in 2024, I don't think we've fared that much better than Nicole Brown got back then.
So it's another example of like the sensationalism of a trial outshining the substance of what we were supposed to take from it. Is that what you'd say?
Right. And when the jurors were pulled after the trial and they were asked about the domestic abuse topic, one of them called it a, quote, waste of time.
Mm-hmm.
That it was such an afterthought rather than the central concept of this trial.
Yeah, it was what ultimately drove the thing. No, it's fascinating. And your ability to articulate that in such a concise manner is phenomenal. And I'm slightly thankful that we're under a minute from a commercial break. Because I can't let you acknowledge the Lorena Bobbitt story and not make like 5 jokes. You said like, here come the stupid jokes. Can I just give you one that's not even mine?
Yes.
When I started doing stand-up, there was a comic, Ronnie Wilkerson, who goes, the best part of the Lorena Bobbitt trial he's like, is when they were searching for the guy's thing on the news, a cop finds it, and on camera he goes, is this it? And he goes, dude, how many of these are you finding on the street in your neighborhood that you're wondering if this is the one?
I think he confused it with a tater tot.
Oh, no, the poor guy. Emily, taking, kicking a man when he was down. But you know what? If we learned anything from this hit, he deserved to be kicked. These are dirtbag people, and society needs to do a better job on behalf of these women. And I thank you for putting a, you know, putting a fine point on that, because I think it gets lost in the sensationalism of a day like today. So thank you, Em. We had to do some adulting today, and we kind of sort of did. Kind of sort of. I mean, by our standards, we did. The great Emily Campagna, watcher every day on Outnumbered.
Get her out. Get her out of here.
It's the morning show that overslept. Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
Did it ever. But we are back in action, and we're getting a little overtime out of Emily Campagna. Apparently she works for a living. It's not all eclipse pictures and trips around the country. I kid, Em. Good to have you back in New York.
I will have you all know, I work very hard.
No, she does. No, believe me, she does. She's like a me in that, you know, people, it's so funny because when people talk about like, oh, you need a work-life balance, but it's actually not how you get ahead. Everybody you know who achieves their dreams doesn't have a work-life balance.
That's actually not how you make it.
You don't make it that way.
You snort that Ritalin. Yeah. You don't go to bed. You get that straight. You do what you need to do.
Thank you.
That's right.
A work, I'm like a what? If I had a work-life, for real, if I had a work-life balance, I would do none of this right now. There's no chance. What you hope for is if you eventually have that imbalance for 10 years or 15 years or 20 years and you actually make your dreams come true, you hope at that point the balance kicks in.
Wrong.
No, that's not how that works.
I eventually want to pull a Jake Ryan from 16 Candles where it's like, where did she go?
Yeah.
Just disappear, right? You're everywhere. And then I am hiding in a cabin in the woods, chopping my own firewood and cooking my own, like,
that'd be something.
Deer on a stick.
That deer on a stick is fun.
Not for a decade.
No, I get it. But yeah, we're not there. We are not there. Thankfully, we like the gig. We are anxious for the fray. But we kept you around double overtime. Sorry to do that to you, because we have room. And obviously, the audience is very fond of you. But we were talking about OJ, and we were talking about the court system and everything in between. And the point you touched on earlier that I just wanted to expand on is the fact that there's so much of today is about, you know, where were you when the chase happened, or OJ, you know, it's about OJ, you know, but this really story is only as relevant as it is because of the two people who got killed. And sadly, we never spend as much time on the victim as we do on, you know, the celebrity, you know, provocateur in this case, or whatever you want to classify him as. A dirtbag is probably the word most people are using. But you said, and I appreciate sticking around for this, is that we're not to this day heeding the warning of the OJ trial, which is that these women are going unheard.
Right. And we are in a better position, but we are nowhere near in the right position. Mm-hmm. Fox News just covered recently the death of a mom and her 9-year-old son by a man that had threatened them repeatedly before and during his incarceration. And what does he do the second he gets out after the parole board approved him? Is went straight to their house and murdered them. The whole point is that these battered women, the victims of domestic violence, they are victims forever and they are never safe unless the perp is dead or put behind bars. That is the only way to stop these people. And recall back when everyone sort of remembers, oh, so the cops were called 9 times. Like, wait, that's sort of a common fact thrown around about Nicole Brown. But the reality is she begged them on that 9th time to please arrest O.J. Simpson. They didn't or they couldn't. And then she was killed. We discussed in the last block how she called battered women's shelter, how she pled for help from many different experts, quote, in the field, who did nothing to protect her. And she knew that at the end, at the conclusion, it would be her death. She spoke about it. She wrote about it. None of it admissible in trial because she was dead and therefore unable for OJ to, you know, you have to face the accuser. And now I think that what makes me the saddest is when people in positions of authority say things like, my hands are tied, right? Mm-hmm. When you hear, and we often hear that. Humans are empathetic to other humans. Standing on a doorstep, a law enforcement, I'm sorry, there's nothing I can do. A judge, there's nothing I can do. But the problem is when people can do something like that parole board that let that guy go, those mistakes are fatal. Yeah. There's a family that will never get their daughter and their grandson back. And for those whose hands are tied, it's incumbent upon those who do have some leeway to make those laws, to make arrests mandatory, to compel them, to keep three strikes, to keep things that have now been totally blurred in this conversation about, you know, the wokeism and progressiveness. Well, there's nothing progressive about murdering someone, mm-hmm. and there's nothing progressive about the tale as old as time, abusive husband or partner who never stops and won't stop until the woman is killed. Once every 15 seconds, a woman is beaten. Multiply that by how many?
Uh-huh. Yeah, no, it's crazy. It blows your mind. We're talking to Emily Campagno, host of the Fox True Crime podcast, which you should, all should be downloading twice a day, I believe you told me to say. Make sure they download it. The text was twice a day, you fat F. Make sure you tell them to download it twice a day in case one of them gets blocked and they don't get the content. And people love that about us. It comes up. This is funny. At one of my Q&As this past week, I was in Federal Way, Washington, just outside of Seattle.
Yay.
There you go.
Washington.
Your hood. And someone texted me, what is the nastiest thing Emily, they didn't text me, they asked me, what's the nastiest thing Emily Campagno has ever texted you?
Nastiest?
Yeah, because you know we joke about
you
how
mean,
we curse.
You mean like cursing. Mean? Or yeah, meaning, I'm not gross.
No, but you know how we, no, just in the sense that me and you put each other down via text and we're known for that. That's all they meant. And they wanted to know. And I promptly read one to them, at which point everyone left the theater in tears because they're not built the way we are. People jumped into the Puget Sound and just drowned themselves. They're like, I don't want to live in a world where a person could treat a friend like that. I was like, oh, you're missing all the fun.
Again, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger.
Thank you.
Why we're here today.
Listen, not only do we not have a work-life balance, but we don't have a sanity balance. And we're not supposed to. This is how we cope. This is how we get by. So Emily, as of course, the co-host of Outnumbered and the host of the Fox True Crime podcast, you had mentioned that this OJ sort of thing where there's this ongoing bad relationship where the women are often not heard. You had a recent story about this on your podcast, did you not?
That's right. And actually multiple, but this particular one, multiple that fit that description. And this mm-hmm. particular one, Amy Ballin, whose husband attacked her physically and thank goodness she did escape. But in her escape, while she was calling 911 from the building lobby, mm-hmm. her ex-husband, and of course she had filed for divorce just like Nicole Brown, he came out and he had stabbed himself. Mm. And then he reported that it was she that stabbed him.
Oh,
and
no.
She was prosecuted for attempted murder. Her story is mind-blowing. It is heartbreaking. Thankfully, it's resolved and she is not incarcerated and she's telling her story with her reclaimed voice. But she represents one of millions of women who are subject to beatings and violence day after day, harassment, stalking, spyware on her cell phones and computers and whatnot. And then at the end of the day, he's believed.
Yeah.
He stabs himself and she's prosecuted. It is mind-blowing that this is the state of recent times, but it's true. The when people talk about power and who holds power, mm-hmm. in this particular situation, these beaten women hold no power mm-hmm. whatsoever.
No, that really it really rattles me to hear you say that, man, because you know, you think about Nicole Brown and obviously society and the system failed Nicole Brown. And I've known that for a long time, you know, because I'm familiar with the 911 calls and I've seen the OJ documentary and everything like that. But it's jarring to think that we're failing this many Nicole Browns to this day. Like, I'd like to think we could do better than that.
And I think in the world where we have the benefit of documentaries and these robust investigations, think of yourself as a juror mm-hmm. where they know 20% of it
yeah.
or 5% of it. Like we talked about earlier, the amount that they were not shown. So they thought it was a, quote, waste of time, this domestic discord, quote, issue. Mm-hmm. Like that's the thing, too, is yeah. we all have armchair quarterbacking exposure to evidence. But, man, when you are a juror, that is something that makes me so sad, because for the faith we put in the criminal justice system, the protection in place procedurally totally is at the
yeah.
subjugation of the evidence, right? Uh-huh. And I guess that's part of the beauty of the system. But when you apply it to people's lives, it's the worst part about it.
Yeah, it really is. And then it's crazy to think of things we are allocating resources towards in this day and age in terms of what we prosecute and don't prosecute. And I just feel like as a society, we're fighting a lot of the wrong battles. Where were you for the OJ chase? Where were you for the OJ verdict?
I was in high school for the verdict. We cut class. I mean, any excuse. We cut class to go to my friend's house to watch the verdict read live. We didn't know. Then we came back to school and we were like, he's innocent. He was ruled innocent. And we didn't know that the principal had come out and made the announcement, like PA
really?
System to the whole school.
Wow.
Which I thought, even at the time, I was like, wow, that's interesting. Like, yeah. Because back then we had no internet. We had yeah. no cell phones. So you had to go home to a TV mm-hmm. to watch the verdict. And the chase, I'm sure I was at, I mean, so same whole thing in high school, El Cerrito, California.
Oh, wow.
East Sneezy.
Yeah, we were talking.
What about you?
No, we were talking earlier about this. The chase, I was watching the NBA Finals. Knicks were playing the Rockets. That was crazy. It was the Houston Rockets, 94 Finals. The verdict.
Did the footage cut in on that?
Oh, yeah. Al Michaels was doing the play-by-play. They had a prank call get through on live TV because it was like, oh, we have a call coming. I believe it's Al Cowlings. And then it was a Howard Stern fan who's like yelled Baba Booey and stuff on the air. It was pretty funny. it was nuts. And then, of course, we watched the chase play out over the course of the night. For the verdict, I was now a freshman in college. I was taking a class called History of Rap Music when the verdict was read, and I was very thankful he got off because the community certainly supported him. So I wasn't thankful that he got away with murder. I was sad that that happened. I was just glad that if I was going to be there in a room of people who wanted him innocent, I didn't know that it was in my best interest for him to be found guilty. So
wait, in that class, was that pre or post Biggie and Tupac's deaths?
Pre.
Whoa. Could you imagine taking a history of rap class
before
Tupac and Biggie were killed?
It wasn't even a thing. That was
what
like
did you guys even talk about?
That was 97.
Run DMC and like the Aerosmith
Run
video.
Run DMC, Can't Touch This.
Oh my gosh, hilarious.
The Sugar Hill Gang.
Too Short, I hope.
Not really.
What?
No,
because you're East Coast. You're so biased
it's
over
not,
here.
It's not even that because like Too Short was too deep. Like at that point.
Too dope.
History, Too Short, he was great. I mean, they got into like Two Live Crew just because of the censorship issue. But if you understand, like people who listen to Too, if you're anyone's out there listening to Too Short, and I don't doubt some of you are. No, I know you are from the Bay Area. But Too Short was rapping about complex issues. He was ahead of his time. He was talking about pimping. Like, he was ahead. He was a precursor to what became the modern rap era. Because it was about bling and side chicks and pimping and everything else. And he was a badass. And he was Too Short, you know. And that's a lot of what the template for modern rap has become. But the breakthrough for the history of rap music was, like, the stuff that worked at a pop cultural level. So it was what you said. It was Run DMC. It was MC Hammer.
Right.
You know what I mean? Also from the
Bay
Area.
Also a Bay, yeah, a beloved fixture. I was in Indianapolis this weekend and in a dive bar, of course. And then
you?
Two Shorts Gettin' It came on and it was hilarious because Indiana is the middle. Mm-hmm. And before that, they were playing like all this other sort of mainstream but older hip hop and rap, whatever. And everyone's sort of rapping along to everything. And then Gettin' It comes on and I rap along to everything, to every lyric, but no one else does. It's like no one else knows it. No one else knew it. And I was like, you guys, this is the fundamentals.
Yeah.
I was the only one, the lone voice rapping along to Two Shorts Gettin' It.
Emily Campagno.
Just a couple days
senior
ago.
Senior correspondent to Two Shorts. Which is so funny. I mean,
could come on out now, or that would be my dream.
Oh, man. Me and my buddy Chuck Meganelli on the road doing stand-up used to listen to In the Trunk all the time.
Yes, dude. Totally. Yes.
It's such a great
intro to In the Trunk.
Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. And, of course, Blow the Whistle and all the Too Short. No, we can go on for days and days. It's amazing the range of a conversation with you. Because we've done, like, hardcore legal analysis in this conversation. We were women's rights advocates at one point, and now we're back to glorifying a rapper who talked about pimping them. I mean, the point is we're complex creatures.
That's right.
We're complex creatures. Listen to the Fox True Crime podcast. She's leaving for real this time. I mean it this
time. Am I?
No, you got to go. We got to go. There she
is. Get her out. Get her out of here.
A show so good, it's frightening.
I got scared. I dropped my hot pocket.
This is Fox Across America with Jimmy Failla.
They are playing Grandmaster Flash and the Furious Five, perhaps in an homage to the time I spent in a class at community college called History of Rap Music. That's where I found myself as a freshman in college when they announced the verdict in the O.J. Simpson trial. The juice avoiding the joint, but he certainly lost in the court of public opinion, as he should have, and he has died today at the age of 76 from cancer. We spent some time on this on the show. We will undoubtedly cover it on Fox News Saturday night this weekend. If you'd like a slightly lighter take than the one we've already given you, I mean, come on, we're not adults on this show. You know, we don't take ourselves seriously. This show's a freaking free-for-all.
I admire your honesty.
Well, yeah, I got to be honest with you about that, because the world is on fire. People need an outlet. That's our job. Our job is to lower the thermostat, because pretty much everybody else has you all worked up in media.
Somebody ought to belt you in the mouth.
Okay, I'm trying to talk you out of that sentiment.
Never hit anyone in anger unless you're absolutely sure you can get away with it.
Exactly. But as we round third and head for home, okay, being a guy who just prioritizes an honest conversation, that's what I always say. Okay, the thing of OJ that rubbed so many of us the wrong way is obviously murder. But then it was the constant flouting, okay, of an exoneration that he should never have been given. And, you know, the books about if he did it and the media interviews and all the stuff that went on from there, you know, really rubbed people the wrong way for very good reason. But I wish I could tell you OJ dying, you know, meant we had less liars to worry about in the world. Unfortunately, we don't. In the world of media, in the world of politics, there's never been more, okay, because it's sort of kind of profitable and good for business if you make the conversation about things besides the truth, because the truth isn't always convenient for people, especially when their policies have led the truth in a dark place that has great consequences for people in their lives. And I wanted to play this earlier, and I just didn't get to it. But something we've covered all day, and all week anyway, are these crazy Death to America chants in Dearborn, Michigan, where people who are in this country are not saying, hey, it's good to be in America, American dream, let's make a life for me and my family. No, no, they're here, and they're saying death to America, screw this place. Well, as you know, the president now ceding ground in his support for Israel because Dearborn, Michigan is a crucial, crucial component of a state he has to win. So we've gone from being unapologetic allies of Israel, making sure everybody understood there was no moral equivalence between Israel and Hamas, to, you know what, maybe we should have a ceasefire. Maybe Israel is too going too far. And it's because of members of the squad like Rashida Tlaib. So Tlaib was asked yesterday by Hillary Vaughn, what's up with all these death to America chants from your supporters? Do you condemn this? And her pivot is, I don't talk to Fox News. That's what she said.
Oh, shut up, woman.
Because, again, you'd rather make this about some type of culture war between networks than the consequences of your actions. Listen to this. Clip 32.
Congresswoman Tlaib.
Fox News. I don't talk to Fox News.
At a rally in your district, people were chanting death to America. Do you condemn?
I don't talk to Fox News.
But do you condemn chants of death to America?
I don't talk to people that use racist tropes.
Why can't you just say whether or not you condemn people chanting death to America? Why are you afraid to talk to Fox?
Fox News is not listen, using racist tropes towards my community is what Fox News is about, and I don't talk to Fox News.
Is death to America racist?
To Fox News.
Is chanting death to America racist?
I'm talking about your guys' racist tropes. You know, you guys know exactly what you do. I know you're Islamophobic, but you guys got to go deal with it on your own self. You're not going to use me.
That was embarrassing.
I mean, but you understand what's going on here. Her supporters chant death to America. She is someone who has repeatedly refused to condemn Hamas. Okay, you pivot to Fox uses racist tropes. Why do they do that? Why do you hear that?
Democrats just call everyone racist so they go along with their stupid ideas.
And their stupid ideas are getting a lot of people killed. Hamas right now, as you hear this, has 130 people hostage, many of whom are Americans. Does Rashida Tlaib have any appetite to discuss that? No, she wants a pretend fight about racism. And somehow this is all justified in the end because we're racist if we don't support Hamas. Because, you know, time was you could paraglide into a rave and kill a few thousand people. Nobody gave you a hard time about it, right? That's what they want you to believe.
You can't handle the truth.
No, they can't. So, yes, OJ was a murderer. OJ was a dirtbag and he killed two people. But the sad reality is, as we sign off tonight, we've got a lot of people in D.C. that are getting a lot of people killed, and they're lying just as much as he is. And on that note, go enjoy the evening. Enjoy your unique American privilege. Be a Republican. Be a Democrat. Don't be a jerk.
The Fox News Rundown, a contrast of perspectives you won't hear anywhere else. Your daily dose of news twice a day, featuring insight from top newsmakers, reporters, and Fox News contributors. Listen and subscribe now by going to foxnewspodcasts.com. Listen to the show ad-free on Fox News Podcast Plus, on Apple Podcasts, Amazon Music with your Prime membership, or subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.